Yes, I am. And okay. So I don't know if anyone will come because the last minute notice and all that stuff. But hey, if people come, sometimes they have interesting questions as well. Yes, I'm in Canada. I'm also not particularly new to mind mapping. I've been doing it since grade school, but I am very much impressed by however much you have. Is it a big thing in Ireland? Is it, how did you get to be so awesome at it? And other tips
I
that you
just
might
do it
want to
all the
share
time.
along the way. Exactly. So this is kind of my sneak peek at what it's like to be a power user of mind maps so that I can either make sure I pick up good habits instead of maybe
I
any
don't know
bad
if I've got
habits that
good
you've had
habits
to
like that.
learn. And also any tips or things that really help you stick with it, right? Because sometimes people try mind mapping for a while and then they stop because they're overwhelmed by something, but clearly you have managed to push through. And if you happen to, come up with other ideas, go ahead.
I started in 1990.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've never stopped.
Have you been using MindJet all the time, or have you used other
Yeah,
tools?
it started off hand drawn. I lost most of those. I think I have two of those. I sent them to you before. And then it was Mind Man, then it was Mind Manager 3, 4, 5, I think, and then 9 is the one I've got now, but it's gone up to 10 or 11, I'm not sure.
It's actually at 14 now, which introduces formulas, and I think they had a different linked map view or something like that. So there are all sorts of new features. So I've been trying to figure out, what the killer features are, what makes you like this one versus the other alternatives out there, and then maybe that I would make that jump as well. So I sent you a, sorry, go ahead.
I've used it for so long. Pretty much from version one straight up to now. I kind of wavered a little bit when they started going the Microsoft direction because I'm a Mac user now and they were kind of going towards Microsoft and I started didn't like it up. But it seems, and the Mac version is one version behind.
So the main things I was curious about is with, what's that, 23 years of mind mapping? How do you manage all this?
How do we manage it? I don't.
You probably have thousands of maps, or at least hundreds, clearly from your Dropbox.
No, that's
So,
all of them. That's everything.
thank you so much
No,
for sharing that.
I moved to China 3 years ago and I came back. And just before I went, I have wanted to bring my books, but didn't want to bring the actual books. So I sat down and worked out which ones I wanted to keep and what I wanted to take out of them. It was a little bit before getting ebooks, which is easier now.
I get most of my books from the library, which is why I like taking notes so that I can come back to the book afterwards, even if I've returned it. Wow. So a large number of the items in your Dropbox are book related, summaries of books. You've mentioned that some of them are things that you're still currently working on. It's like
Yeah,
the
the Chinese one especially, yeah.
How do you keep track of the ones you're working on? Is it just a small number that you keep in mind, or
Yeah,
do
it's
you
a small
have?
number. No, I don't have a big strategy. I just have a small number of those. I keep it on my to-do list and I keep pushing it down and it keeps going back up and it keeps going down and keep going back up.
How do you manage your to-do list? Is that a mind map as well, or do you use something else?
No, it's not. No. I tried that. And I couldn't get it everywhere. That's why I want my to-do list to be everywhere at all. So I use to-do.txt instead. It's you know this one?
I haven't used
Attention.
that. Is it? I've used text files as my to-do, so I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to,
Yeah, it is
or if it's
text.
an app that you're using.
It's an app too. But it's a way of doing it rather than the putting in a map because if you don't have the map all the time, you've got bits of stuff everywhere. And I want everything in one place. That's my whole goal about everything.
Well, one of the things that I'm trying to figure out now is how to fit all these maps that I'm doing into the way that I do other things, like my to-do list, and hyperlinks are starting to be useful there. But also, things like what am I currently thinking about or what am I currently working on. Do you use mind maps for thinking through stuff as well, or is it mainly as a way to take notes?
Mainly a way to take notes, not thinking through. Make a list and then make a map from the list. But I'm kind of linear the way I think, even though I do know. I'm more organized than creative. Everybody's creative, but I'm more organized than brainstorming and all that sort of stuff.
It certainly looks like you're very well organized based on your book notes.
Yeah, well, I just copy the structure of the book and then just kind of hang everything on top of that, which takes forever. But I like doing it. It's a way of studying.
Yeah, I came across a tip like that from the book How to Read a Book, which talks about, you know, you look at the table of contents and you get an idea of the structure of the book first. So it's kind of like having a roadmap, and then as you're going through the book, you can fit things into that structure.
Yeah, well, you know where you are.
The thing that I've been trying to figure out is this, you know, how do you start dealing with topics that go across multiple books? Or let's say you're reading a lot of books in a particular topic.
Never liked it. Maybe had problems before, but if you move one map, it's on your computer, and you move it to another place, I don't like
it. So it's good to know that I don't have to deal with that. Links
no,
break.
I can make it. They did before. I don't know if they do still, but I don't like having to shuffle stuff around. Have multiple. I want everything in one place. I'm a very simple thinker, aren't we?
So you usually have.
I don't think.
Go ahead.
I don't think it's a solution for everything. It's a tool that some people use.
What are some of the other tools you use?
Me. I don't know. My to-do list is that this website. I can give you the link to it. I almost cried when they got rid of, what was that one? Astrid, do you remember that?
Oh, yes, I've used Astrid before.
I almost cried when that went. Well, when Yahoo took it over.
Thanks for the URL, I'll check that out.
Yeah. That's what I use for to-do lists. I've simplified my life about when Vista came out and got a Mac. I don't know what you use.
Yeah.
Do you use a Mac or a PC? Or?
I'm actually on Windows 8, and I do that because I like using a tablet PC, so Macs don't really do that. So I'm on Windows because of Autodesk Sketchbook Pro and a couple of other programs that I really like.
And you like it?
Well, I'm always envious of the interesting things the Mac people can do on their computers and the tools that are available, and then I turn around and I spin my tablet into a tablet PC, and I draw the screen and I'm like, yeah, okay, well, there's something still worth sticking with this for.
How long are you doing your notes,
Adam? I started drawing with my presentations. I've been mind mapping before that, but I don't have a lot of my notes from then. And certainly with my blog, basically, I have my notes for the last 10 years. Not 23. 23 is like, you know, me starting when I'm, what, 7? I'm only 30 now. So clearly your, you know, my naps are significantly longer span than I am. I really find it so useful to have an archive of notes, which is why I'm curious about how do you maintain that archive for the long run, right? So that you can keep making use of it. So
yeah, it's hard not to lose them when you change computers or you get older and you move and all sorts of. I found stuff from 1998 on a zip disk about a week ago.
A zip disk? I haven't seen one of those in ages.
Well, I got floppy disk as well. I don't know if there's any on that.
Yeah, that's a big problem. So basically, you know, right now you're storing them in Dropbox, which is great because that sort of synchronizes things and they'll be around next time when you log in, assuming Dropbox sticks around that long. But before then, you know, do you have any kind of archiving system, or is it just it's on the disk? If you find the disk, great. If you don't find the disk, there's a whole chunk of your life.
No, I had a hard disk, and it was a terabyte hard disk, and I had scanned books, maps, everything on it, and it died.
No backups?
No.
Oh no.
Not on that one. Now I back up my laptop twice, and everything is on Dropbox, and I back up my external drive twice too.
Yeah, I've lost files during migrations from computer to computer, and now I'm starting to be more paranoid about my backup strategy. But there's also, you know, not just having the files, but remembering that you have the files, which apparently I am not very good at.
How do you mean remembering you have it? I always put everything in the same place.
It's along the lines of, you know, when you're, in my case, because I blog a lot, right, sometimes I end up searching for something, and then Google, you know, Google's third result or whatever is a blog post from my own blog that explains what it is. So, of course, it was written like years ago, so I've forgotten that I ever even tried it. But that's certainly something that I've had as a challenge with, again, that many MineApps behind you. Do you find it that you tend to remember enough to get back to them, or are you sometimes surprised by what you find?
Oh, I'm definitely surprised. I've done them twice. I've done the same book twice and not known I did the book before. That's happened a couple of times.
Oh, what kinds of differences did you notice when you did it the second time?
Usually the second time's a little bit neater, and I'm like, yeah, this book sounds very familiar, but I'm not really sure why. Yeah, I've done that. I think I've done it twice.
What
yeah,
about
I did one. I did all the hard work. I did all the hanging out the structure of the book, and then found the old one, which is pretty much identical.
And that one of the other things. Yeah, I do that too, because sometimes I'll check out the same book twice. Like, I don't know whether I've read this before or I've read other things that are very close to this, because a lot of these books tend to look alike after a while. But the other thing that I sometimes struggle with is I'm searching for something, and I know it's there somewhere, but I can't seem to find it. Are your mind maps really easy to search, or do you have some way of kind of zeroing in on that?
I never really searched them, no.
Oh. So it's basically when you need to remember something, you just open the right mind map and you're there.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they're not integrated in search on the Mac, so there's no way of getting stuff out of them.
Wow.
So I find the name of the map, so I kind of know the area, but there's never anything done.
Huh.
I've never searched them.
That's kind of tough.
It's far to get.
I can imagine that if you had, like, you know, maybe not the topic of a book, but sorry, not the title of a book, but a topic within it, you're like, I remember reading something about this. I guess you can just open up mind maps that look like it'll be useful. I have problems, you know, with remembering those specifics. So no search, but you open things and somehow you just deal with it.
I'm not afraid of losing it either. I don't know.
Yeah?
I know I'll find something when I need it.
Okay. All right. So I should stress less. Go ahead.
I've done a few books for authors, or have been printed by the author.
Oh.
One was called. Oh, he's a Danish guy. He's the chief happiness officer. Oh, what is it? Happiness is 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
I did that and published on his blog. That's in the folder somewhere.
Yeah.
And there's another one I might do. I'll show you the book. Oh. I'm trying to do this one.
Oh, that looks interesting. Yeah.
Actually, one that's in a Facebook competition.
Huh. Fascinating. Yeah. So 80-20 manager. I should check that out as well. Your reading tastes are very similar to mine. So if there's, you know, just
really?
Some either I can check your Dropbox regularly, because I read a lot of these business management, you know, sort of you know, productivity learning books. You know, either I'm going to just, if you don't mind, just stay subscribed to your Dropbox and look at it every so often for new apps.
Yeah.
And then I can also share mine with you.
My unwieldy map is going to still be there, and it's still going to annoy me. It's going to get bigger and bigger.
How long does it take you to process a book?
Well, about 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It can take a week, over a week and a couple hours a day.
Yeah, how does that compare to just reading a book straight?
I don't like to. If I like the book, I'm not going to read it straight.
I sometimes, like, you know, I'll make a decision within the first chapter or so whether this is a book worth, you know, taking notes on, because a lot of books, they're like, well, this is kind of covered by other things. But
Well,
if it's good.
if you're reading it through, you can do that on a Kindle, and if you highlight things on the Kindle or in
Yeah.
iBooks, you can get a list of all your highlighted topics and then build a map out of that.
Oh, is that how you're currently handling that?
And I do that sometimes with the Kindle, especially.
I give in to the
So
temptation to dog ear books. Because I get most of
you
my books
can't
on
order it
paper.
from there.
I read mostly on paper because that's what the library has. But the Kindle
Hmm.
highlights are very useful.
So you're studying now? Is that the why you need to know all this, or?
Oh no, I'm just really curious. So basically, I've been working on learning a lot more about learning because I figure, you know, I've got decades ahead of me, so I might as well figure out how to do that part really well and then be able to use that to learn other things. So I've, you know, oh, I should probably explain a little bit. I'm doing this experiment to semi-retirement until around 2017, which is basically 5 years from when I started. I set aside enough so that I can just do what I want to do, you know, work on the things that I want to work on, but also spend time learning from stuff, learning from people, you know, picking up skills, drawing, relaxing, writing a heck of a lot, that sort of thing. So, which is why I've been curious about learning and note-taking and mind mapping and all these other topics as a way to make the most of that time.
Yeah, it definitely makes a difference.
How did you, yeah.
Definitely.
So aside from you, well, you probably read some books and all that. How do you learn about this and other techniques that you use to learn more effectively?
How did I learn about it? Yeah, the first time I got a book about 1990, and I thought, oh, this is cool. I can skip school and do this. Didn't really work out that way. Yeah, they didn't like it in school. Really didn't like it.
No.
No, why are you drawing pictures? Why are you drawing pictures? Why can't you just write in lines like everybody else?
That's terrible.
Yeah, and then college. Yeah, I did it in college, and then just kept going, never stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, just I dropped it for a little bit, maybe in the late 90s, no, early 2000s, but I've always done it.
Are there any other note-taking techniques or other strategies that you found as useful as mind mapping?
There's some. I'm trying to learn them. It's called a major system at the moment,
Oh
which you learn
yeah,
to.
the memory peg system for remembering numbers and things like that, right?
For 10,000 things, but I can't remember the matrix, so I learned.
Spaced repetition systems are supposed to be good for for memorizing arbitrary things like that. So
Yeah,
that's
I use
something.
Anki. Is it
Yeah,
Anki
yeah.
called? Yeah, I
Yeah.
used that a lot, and then I stopped doing it. I can't remember why I stopped, but I did stop. Yeah, I was trying to learn Chinese because I lived in China for so long, about 3 years. And I wanted
Yeah.
to learn Chinese, and I found it was easier to get drunk and get a taxi to learn Chinese. Learned more in a taxi than anywhere else.
Wow.
Mostly bad words too, but
Yeah.
yeah. But I'm trying to
Oh,
make a
that's
huge in
natural. So,
Chinese now. I'm
sorry,
trying to
which?
put this one into it. I'm
Oh.
trying to put this one.
That should be interesting. There are a couple of books that focus on learning Chinese or Japanese characters, but they use more mnemonics for it so that you can, you know, you kind of see the shape that this originally came from, or you attach it to something
Yeah.
else.
That's why I did the whole matrix app, so I can hang these characters onto it, hopefully. That's why I spent
There's so
about
many.
there's 4,000 characters in Chinese. You need to learn 2,000, I think.
Yeah, I studied Japanese for a while because I spent 6 months in Tokyo in Yokohama. So it was interesting trying to wrap my head around the character system. Managed to get to it, but that's, you know.
My friend is British. He went to a great. He went to first grade in Japan to learn to write.
How nice.
He was 35 and they were 7.
That must have been an interesting classroom.
Yeah, he speaks Chinese and Japanese.
Nice. Yeah. I hope you'll get there someday. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what that map looks like, just because it's hard to imagine having so many nodes.
I don't know. It's getting unwieldy because I keep changing book.
So how do you deal with unwieldy maps?
How do I deal with them? I try to avoid them.
Well, clearly you can't in this case, or at least you're starting with something that's getting unwieldy. So, any tips on
I try and break it down to areas.
Yeah.
Try and break it down into one for listening, one for reading, one for writing, and then break it out into that. I've got one horrific map. What's the book called? It's called How to Think Clearly, I think it's called.
Yeah, is that the one with the hundreds and hundreds of different biases? I've read that book. The books that are just basically list books without much structure, aside from here are 101 things to whatever. Yeah, that's really hard.
I was trying to map that. I was trying to put all the connections in, and there's so many.
Yeah.
It's just everything points to everything else. So I don't know. I'm not sure how to do it.
I was looking at that because I was browsing through your maps looking for all these complex examples of how do you deal with this, and that was something. I saw those lines. They're like, wow, that must have taken a lot of work to put together.
Yeah, if you want to look at my favorite one, I think it's. Hang on a second.
Yeah, what is your favorite one?
Michelle Thomas, Chinese Tones.
Michelle Thomas. Thomas, maybe?
Okay,
Chinese Tones. Gotcha.
That's my favorite book, right?
I need to...
That's very small.
...zoom out to see this. It's Fitnap. Interesting. Yes, you. You mentioned you print and laminate some of your maps. Wow, I've never actually done that. It seems like it would be a good way to make things available for reference. The thing I find challenging about maps sometimes, though, is that if you expand them so that they're useful, they take up a lot of space.
They're very, very small.
Yeah.
And they're very, very small.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. I don't know. I try to print them all out one day, and it's...
What happened?
It took a week.
In a week. And then what do you do with it afterwards? Could you actually read it?
I printed all my maps once.
Wow.
I don't know how I did it, but I printed like 500 maps.
Yeah.
Like, these are the contents of my brain.
Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons why I've been liking my one-page summaries as sketch notes, because my maps are something similar. Yeah. They're non-linear, but I can squeeze things into the spaces, so I can write slightly bigger.
Yeah. You can put pictures in it, and you can put all sorts of anything you want to.
Yeah,
I've used a few of them.
The nice thing about mind maps is that you can expand and collapse, which you can't do on paper, but on the computer it's super helpful. And then you can rearrange things and stick more stuff in afterwards, which is adding things to the structure that you've built. So I haven't quite found that right balance of space versus tinkering around with things.
Well, probably never gonna find it. Do you use a tablet PC?
Yeah, I do. My computer has a pen. So this is a regular laptop where the screen swivels around and becomes a tablet, and then I can draw on it using the included pen that slots into the case. It's a Lenovo X220. I've tried MindJet because MindJet has that ink mode where you can actually draw in the mind map itself, and it has some pen-based gestures, which are really cool.
Yeah.
But the downside of that, I was using it to take notes during a panel discussion where I was one of the panelists, so this was kind of like, okay, split brain processing here. But because MindJet needs you to write in a small rectangular box, it required a little too much thinking. Nice to remind that being harder for when you're not looking at the screen.
I use iThoughts on the iPad, which is connected to Dropbox.
Yeah, and I guess that's one of the advantages of going with something like MindJet is because you can find apps for it that'll open your stuff. It does open MindJet.
I can use this and my laptop and even my phone if I really, really want to do it, but I don't. So everything, Dropbox is the main thing. It's the biggest thing that's changed in the last while. Without Dropbox, it'd be extremely difficult.
Yeah, I find it so useful. Yeah. When you're working on your iPad, do you create maps or do you just browse through them?
No, I create them too.
Because I imagine it might be hard. Oh. And you just, I don't know, use shorter words or how do you deal with the interface being slightly, it's just as good?
It's a bit slower and you're not going to do the heavy work because it's going to take you 10 hours longer than you expected. But you want to start a basic structure, yeah? I always start with the structure. That's the first thing I do. It's like building, you build, I was in IKEA yesterday and I was like, it's just like IKEA. It's like you build all the warehouse first and then you put stuff in it.
Yeah.
Just instead of just piling stuff on top of each other.
I see. So it's I can see how the iPad would still be a good way to capture stuff, and then, you know, for the heavy-duty refactoring of unwieldy maps, maybe you'd use a computer there so you can select lots of things. But if you're just creating the tree and adding notes to it, then an iPad would do fine. Actually, thinking of IKEA and structures, one of the things I've always liked about IKEA is that they have an index, right, of the stuff that's on the shelves, so you can then go to the exact shelf that you're going to get your LAC table from.
That's the same as the memory system.
How do you apply that to your map, if you do?
Well, you just make one part warehouse, and you go, oh, this is beds, this is tables, this is chairs, and then just hang everything off that.
Okay. I see. Well, because we have the freedom to use names for it, right? Yeah. So indexing, I guess, is one of the things that I've been struggling with in terms of, like, well, if I've got all these maps, or right now I'm just working with one huge map that has hyperlinks to my one-page notes. And I can show this to you, actually. I'm going to switch over to screen share so you can see where I'm coming from. Let me switch. Can you see my screen?
No. Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. So I just got this, like, massive, massive, massive map. Which I think I can hit Control F in and search for, say, mind map. And then I have these hyperlinks in it. But this is starting to get unwieldy for me because it's like 4 or 5 levels deep sometimes.
What are you using?
I've been giving both a MindJet and FreePlane a try here. FreePlane is the thing that I'm currently using, and you can see how it links back to my my Evernote. So I figured, okay, MindJet has all these amazing, but it also costs a fair bit, which is one of the reasons why I was curious, you know, what were the key selling points of it for you?
How much does it cost?
Yeah.
I don't know. I paid like
it's around $400 bucks now.
What?
But don't you pay for the upgrades? I guess if you stopped at 12, you haven't paid in a while. But it's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. It's well worth it, I'm sure. But it's something like $300 maybe or $400, around that ballpark. Bye. So like
I got one free. I got one free about 2 versions back, and I'm not sure why.
Bye. Hey, they're by age. There we are. Okay, so here we go. It's Project Director. Yeah, 349. That's what it is now.
Wow. That's Canadian dollars.
No, that's US.
What's that in euro?
349 USD in euro. 253 actually.
How much? 253.
Okay, I didn't know. 253. I didn't know. Yeah. Yeah. So like,
it was a, it was 100 because I upgraded.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I can see why. Yeah. Okay. Now I know.
Yeah. So also I was curious, like, you know, if you're using the super advanced features, they're like, actually, you know, if you'd be pretty happy with a more basic mind map, then presumably if, you know, you've been happily mapping for 23 years, I could probably be happily mapping for at least 23 years on this too. So, I mean, like, MindJet comes with all these project management features, which is one of the things people really love about it. So,
yeah. If you want, yeah. I've never met anyone else who used it.
Okay.
The same thing. I met another Canadian user, but she's in China.
Oh, actually, that's an interesting question. You've probably come across other mind mapping power users. What are they like? What other things, you know, maybe you were curious about learning from them, or maybe they do differently from you?
They do less stuff with books than I do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's because most people don't read as many books as we do. Naturally, they make fewer notes about them. But yeah, what else do they do differently?
It's like asking someone how to use Excel. There's so many people use it, different types of people.
Yeah, I guess so. Although it's also interesting to get a sense of what you do differently, so that you're like, oh yeah, you know, in this case, for example, you do a lot of book. I might come to you again when I'm curious about how to get better at summarizing books or whatever. Actually, that's an interesting question there. In addition to your mind map summaries, do you tend to do anything else to further summarize the book, or it's basically once it's in a mind map, that's, you know, you're okay with the book?
I usually put if there's any diagrams or techniques I've got, I try to pull them out.
Mm-hmm.
Try to reverse engineer their diagrams and things like that.
Redraw the diagram?
Yeah, redraw it and try and work it out. I've used an app called the Decision App.
I'm going to switch back to Google Chat so I can see that. Hang on, one of these windows. Here we go.
Can you see that?
How about I stop sharing? Hang on a second. How do I stop sharing here? Da, da, da. And okay, so and then you can drop that into the chat.
Okay.
What's the name of that app again?
One second.
Sure. Thanks so much for all these useful tips, by the way. Really, you know, it's great. You know, it's great getting glimpse down the line of, okay, if I do this a lot, these are, you know, it's good to know kind of what that I can get by with the basics, which will save me like $400, and also to run into other people who read a lot and who do stuff with what they're learning. So this is all very nice.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why I do it, but I feel compelled to do it.
Well, the reason why I feel compelled to take notes is because if I don't, then that time is wasted. I know that I'm going to forget it. So it's kind of like just taking a chunk of my life and throwing it away.
Yeah, exactly. That's the book.
Go check that out.
It's in German. You don't speak German, huh?
No, unfortunately.
No, my friend speaks German. She's moved there. Actually, I don't know where she's. My husband is German. She's Filipino.
I'm Filipino.
Yeah, I got that. I've been there twice.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
I read this book. I liked it because it was nice and visual.
Yeah, all the the matrices or the diagrams that you can see on the iPhone.
Oh, fantastic. There's like a gazillion 2x2, you know, matrices in here, and then a couple of inches. For example, I picked up the rubber band model, which was nice for looking at conflicting forces also.
Yeah.
I'm always on the lookout for books like that, because graphic organizers or these templates for thinking are super helpful. So if you come across those, I want to hear about them.
There's another book. Where is it?
Yeah?
Oh, I can't. I'm going to look through my book list.
I like that too. Don't ask me for recommendations when I'm walking around. I have to check my notes. Let me bring up one of the ones that I've read recently. I'm sorry.
Well, what I do, I scan all the barcodes of my books into a database.
Yeah?
And it's called Delicious Library.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll find the book over in that.
Yeah, because my library has an online interface, I end up writing a script that logs in as me, scrapes the data, so I actually have my reading history for the past year or so that I've been running this, and also makes it easy for me to renew books and tell me which ones to do, which is great because we have 3 library cards in this household, so sometimes I check out things on other people's cards as well if I run over my 50-book limit, which I have on several embarrassing occasions. You get carried away, right? So we've got to the point where if I'm over my limit, the librarian will, you know, just my husband's card and mine are linked, so I can check things out on his card even if he's not around.
Yeah, I'm still up okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so yes, I occasionally run over the 50-book limit. But this is how, instead of scanning barcodes, I just have the library system take care of that.
That's insane.
You know what it's like reading books, right? Reading books is a fantastic time saver because you don't have to do all these, you know, you don't have to repeat all these other mistakes or, you know, get all these experiences other people have already had and written about. So, and I've always been a bookworm, and I am totally spoiled by having a library close to me. What's it like over there? Do you have a good library?
Yeah, I haven't been to it in a long time. I just got home about 3 months ago and I've moved house, so I haven't gone back.
So you actually mostly buy your books?
That's one way of putting it, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I calculated what my book budget would be, and it's really, it would be really high if I had to buy all the books.
Really?
But you mentioned...
What's the library like?
The Toronto Public Library, it's like one of the top 10 in terms of circulation worldwide. So a lot of people use it. And they planned it so there's always a library within walking distance. It's good for almost all the titles. Sometimes the newer titles won't be out, or some of the revisions won't be stocked or whatever. So for those, or if I'm buying a book to give away to somebody, then I'll buy the book. Or I'll buy the Kindle version if I'm just, you know, I really want to read it right away so that I can make a summary of it and post it to my blog while everyone's still talking about the book.
What do you find about copyright?
Yeah, I'm still kind of iffy about that myself, and mainly because notes are kind of, are they derivative work? Is the work of summarizing, and, you know, Cliff's Notes and all those other companies do apply for special permission to do this, so they properly license the books before they summarize it. So in that sense, you know, is it okay to post things like mind map summaries on Bigger Plate, or is it okay to post sectional summaries? I'm not really sure, but what I do is I usually just, I put up the summary, and then I tweet the author or whatever else, and usually they're like so delighted, or the publisher is so delighted, and they share it to other people, so like, okay, maybe it's not a bad thing that we're doing this.
Well, this one I'm going to try, because I kind of got a little bit into the author. I say, look, I did this, and then what do you want to do with it?
And it's a great way to connect to the authors, right? Because so you know, especially if they're active on Twitter, then they're sending your mind map out to other people. They want people to read their book, and if they have a summary, then it's not like people are just going to look at the summary and not read the book. Usually, the summary you know, there's like, oh, that's a great summary. Let me go read the book, or let me go focus on the parts that look really useful for me. So in that sense, I'm like, okay, maybe it's all right to be posting these book notes. If anyone ever complains, I can take their particular book note down. But so far, people have been really helpful, and also they've also sometimes sent me free books, which is nice. You mentioned you've done some author mind maps, so I'm guessing you're also kind of getting that kind of, the publisher is occasionally asking, can you, or publicists, no?
No, just some author. I'll show you the guy. Where is it?
I'm never quite sure, because sometimes I get the book and they're like, well, I don't really, maybe I don't agree with it, or maybe it's, not as well written or well structured as other books in the area. So I don't know whether I should make notes for it and publish that, because anyway.
Do you get paid for what you do?
Sorry?
You make money from what you do?
I've decided the book reviews, I'll do them for free so that I get around that, worrying about copyright as much, and also because I don't want it to become a, pay me and I'll write glowing things about your book, or pay me and I'll do, I'll help you publicize your book. So I mainly use it as a way to save, positive sharing, let me go check that out, to share good ideas, and sometimes build author relationships or find out about interesting books before they're released. Okay, Happy Artist 9 to 5. I should go check that out too.
Well, here it is. He fixed it. Wow. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I emailed him to fix a link, and he did.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Your mind map should be around here somewhere. People have paid me to do events. So making a summary of a conference or a presentation. That sort of thing. And I think people are doing this for mind maps as well. I'm not sure. But I also, I've been focusing more on reading books and also drawing my own content or mapping out my own content.
How do you save it?
How do I save it?
You draw directly on the screen.
Yeah. Usually I draw directly on the screen. Sometimes I'll draw it on paper. I just got a Fujitsu ScanSnap. So it's the sheet fed scanner that works really fast. So I've been scanning more of my sketches.
Yeah,
two of
them. Yeah, I got one for, when I used Evernote, I got one to scan magazines. And I put 20 years of a magazine into the scanner, into the hard disk, and then that's the dead one.
So you said when you used Evernote. That sounds like a past tense. Do you not use Evernote?
No, because I think Dropbox does what I want to do better.
Ah, I see. I'm still in Evernote because I like the search within images, so that's been really helpful for me, especially since it'll also search handwritten stuff, which is super cool. Mostly works. But it's interesting to hear that Dropbox has basically taken over all of that stuff for you.
Yeah, actually, my notebook is called Day One on the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's my stuff, my notebook, and I don't need to share it with anybody else. So.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I've stopped using Evernote because I was just keeping Evernote going and not using it. So.
Yeah, one of the challenges that I'm starting to face is I've got like thousands and thousands of notes in it already. It's really just getting a sense of, okay, I've got all these tags and all these notes, and how do I even get a sense of what's in there so I can organize it better? Which is why I'm turning to maps as a way to say, okay, you know what, here's the big picture of what I know about or what I'm working on, and then I can go in from there. Otherwise, things go into this. Whether it's, in Dropbox, you can organize things into folders, which is helpful. In Evernote, if it's just a dumping ground of stuff, things get lost.
I prefer Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
Dropbox is my favorite.
So are you still in the kind of the free 2 gigabytes or whatever that is, or did you go for the, premium space add-ons?
In Dropbox? No, I kind of hoodwinked a lot of work colleagues and family to give me extra space.
The referrals program. And the Quest, too. The Quest gets you, the Dropbox Quest gets you extra space, too.
I got 11 gigabytes.
Which is really decent, because you can fit everything in there.
Yeah, I might go for the 100 because I've gone from 3 meg broadband to 150, so maybe I've got some speed to upload it.
Yeah. I like Dropbox a lot too, and I like the fact that it means my files are available on, my tablet and my phone and whatever if I need them. So that is totally awesome. I'm a little bit worried about, what happens if they ever go out of business, but I'm sure
Well, you've
it'll
always
be
got the
something.
files on your machine.
Yeah. I've always got backups and all that stuff. I'm just going to really miss the synchronization.
I back up everything twice.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is how do I improve the backups, right? So, backing up everything twice, because if it's only backed up once, it doesn't exist. And then my next step for
you
that
can go
is
online and get online backup too, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think my next step is probably more just physically doing an offsite backup, and then documenting all these things so that I know where to and I can test how to recover from this.
Well, I worked in IT for quite a while, and just the whole physical process of cycling tapes over weeks, and this is week 7, tape 1, and there's a whole thing of that. I'm not quite that organized, but that's the basic theory behind it.
Yeah. I'm definitely, an IT person, person as well. So it's like, okay, I can deal with this. Backups are
well,
good.
I was an IT person. I don't know what I'm now.
Oh, what have you evolved into?
Well, I was a teacher for 3 years.
Great, fantastic.
Yeah.
The teachers.
I taught English in China for 3 years because I wanted to go to China.
Excellent strategy then. Mission accomplished.
I did it backwards. I should have done it when I was in my 20s, but I did it when I was in my 30s. But
I'm sure it was still an interesting experience.
Yeah, it was interesting, yeah. Definitely an interesting place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they think visually, which the way, if you've ever seen a Chinese student, they'll write in the air.
Oh yeah. I see
They write in the air, and they do sums on their hands, and they work out characters like. Basically, they think a completely different way to what the way Western people think.
That's one of the things I'm curious about, because we rarely get kind of a glimpse into other cultures if there are language barriers. So it'd be great to learn more about visual thinking or mind mapping or all these other techniques across that language barrier to see who's doing that and what.
Definitely in China, and I'd say Japan too, and maybe Korea, but they're definitely use a different part of the brain than we do.
Fascinating. I will definitely check that out some more.
Especially Chinese, because they learn in pictures. Everything is a picture.
Wow. Okay, so there's that's an exciting thing to look into. And we're wrapping up, what are there? So you've been mapping for quite a long time, over 20 years, and you're probably going to keep mapping for a good long time also. Are there things that you wanted to learn more about or get better at in terms of mind mapping?
Yeah, a little bit more creative. Mine are a bit samey all the time.
What do you mean more creative?
I always go the same direction, do the same.
So more things like clouds and
just a little bit more. They've got better looking as the software's involved, but I don't know. It's just they're a little bit stale, a little bit staid, I think. So
are there people you really look up to because they've got really creative mind maps?
Nobody in particular. Bigger Plate's been a big resource though.
Yeah.
Because you take stuff from there and go, oh, that's the same topic, but it's better done, and it's differently, and then you're like, oh, okay, maybe I can try that one next one.
Yeah, and I started looking through it as well, and you're like, wow, there are a lot of maps out there. Most of them are focused on things like books or articles or systems for productivity or whatever. So in your case, because that's a lot of what you do, you'll probably find plenty of things to learn from and be inspired by.
Yeah, but I usually when I get a book, I don't finish it because I'm too busy mapping it. I never read it.
Well, I guess it works out just fine that way then, because you can always study your notes afterwards.
Yeah, what can get from my notes where I want to go in the book, because I'm very lazy that way. I don't want to read the whole thing. I want to Where's the good bit? Where's the good bit? I want this bit.
Yeah. Have you ever used other people's notes, other people's maps as a way to get that preview book without doing the map yourself?
Yeah. So there was a book called A Whole New Mind. I think it's there. Or How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh, yeah.
I have both of those books, and they're not my maps.
What is it like when you're looking at somebody else's map?
It's like it's someone else's homework from school. Why is it so you so much better?
You don't end up doing your own? Oh, yeah. Hmm? Sorry, that sounded like an interesting reaction.
Yeah, why is your writing so much better?
Well, you can keep trying, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe other people are looking at your maps and going, oh, why, you know, how come this is so important?
Yeah, one of my maps was downloaded 1,000 times.
Yeah, wow.
Some of them 700 or 800 times, and then someone never downloaded it.
That's okay. They're useful for you, and that's probably what matters.
Well, because I didn't publicize that I did them so much, I never put them anywhere except, and I put them on a bigger plate, and then people looked at them and was like, oh, that's not so bad. I'm not so weird.
So you don't post your mind maps at other places that much? Not like a blog or on Twitter or whatever?
I had a blog, and they... Maybe I should start a blog.
Yes. I would subscribe to your blog if you started one. So I will look forward to that.
Yeah, I'll try it.
Okay. Again, thank you so
much
for sharing.
Yeah, maybe I'll put 1 week.
Yes. And it's great also because you're publishing it, right? And it gives you something to go back to. I've recovered stuff from online things when I lost the original files.
Yeah,
and also because other people tell you, oh, yeah, you wrote about this before. So then if you can't find it yourself and you don't come across it, other people can still point you back to what you've already shared. So I would definitely recommend it. I would certainly read your blog if it comes out. I would love to read more about the books that you're reading. And if you don't mind, I'll just stay subscribed to your Dropbox and check it out for book recommendations.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks again so much. My pleasure. Good luck and be more creative.
Any questions you can ask me? I might know the answer, but I can. There's two people you need to talk to, actually. Jamie Nast.
Jamie Nast, yes, you've mentioned.
She does 2-day training courses in Miami, Florida, and she's done them in Singapore. She's done them, she's done them in the UK and Poland.
Yeah.
She'd be the best person to train with for 2 days. You can become a certified mind mapping trainer then. I never had the desire and the money at the same time, so I never did it. And another guy is called Michael Deutsch. He used to work for MindJet. I'm not sure if he's still there. But they're the two people.
Go check those people out. It's always great to find role models. You're certainly one, so I'm always looking forward to finding more about your, you know, role models, right? So this is great.
Okay. I'm glad I could help you. I wasn't really sure what you wanted, but yeah.
We covered practically all the bits. It's nice to know that I don't have to do anything particularly fancy in order to, you know, keep mapping and keep the maps useful over the next 20 years or so at least.
Have you read a book called Use Your Head?
No, I haven't. I will go check that. Okay.
That's the very start of everything, Use Your Head.
All right. Okay, so there's that. The thing is, I don't trust my head, which is why I'm doing all these notes. But I will check that out in case there are ways to use it.
No, if you're going to read any book to start, use your head first one.
Okay, I will. I promise to have some kind of map or sketch note or whatever of that soon. And we've talked about, organizing maps and dealing with unwieldy maps and all those other things that I am definitely going to run into over the next couple of years if I keep mapping. So that has all been incredibly
useful. The unwieldiness is going to be, it's not the map, it's going to be your thoughts.
Yeah.
So it's a reflection of the way you're thinking about it. And if you're not clear, the map's not going to be clear either.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I found it.
Yeah, so that will be fun, untangling my own thoughts. Actually, One last quick question. Have you ever used those? You know how, okay, mind maps tend to have one root node and then everything else branches out from there. But the mind mapping software in these days allow you to do kind of free nodes or floating nodes that aren't connected to your root. And you can also, so, okay, you never used them too. I don't have to worry about wrapping my mind around them.
It's not connected to anything, so.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. A few more things for me to worry about.
Use Your Head is the number one book to read.
Okay.
By Tony Buzan.
Yes.
That's the start of it.
Thank you so much.
And once you get that, you'll find the whole series. Okay, no problem.
All right, then. Bye. Okay. I'll keep following you on Twitter, and I'll see you around.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.